Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, October the 4th. And welcome to our commentary. If you have not heard, there was a breaking story here in the last couple of hours that Loretta Lynn, the very famous country western singer, super popular lady. I mean, she's been around for a long time. She passed away at age 90. And of course, she's famous for that movie or that story about the coal miner's daughter. Good movie, pretty good story, pretty good life. So Loretta Lynn, you know, there was something about her songs. Her songs were always so good. And the lyrics seem so real that I guess that's why she was so popular. So Loretta Lynn, 90 years old, passing away today. She was born in Tennessee, but I'm not sure where she was living today. Probably in the South, I would think, given her life story. So rest in peace, Loretta Lynn. You left a lot of good music behind us, that's for sure. We're going to talk today about a couple of things. I've got a couple of ideas about trends that could have an impact on these midterms. But before we get there, I wanted to just briefly talk about October surprises, because they can have an impact on the midterms. Now, they usually don't. You don't have big surprises that change the result of a midterm. But there were a couple of them that we should be looking at, one that happened and one that could happen. So let's look at the one that happened before. That was in 1962. The Cuban Missile Crisis, and that happened in the last 2 weeks of October. And remember that gave the opportunity, gave President Kennedy the opportunity to change his image a little bit, because up to that point, he was seen as as a weak president who had gone through the Bay of Pigs, didn't look real good. When he and Nikita Khrushchev got together in Vienna, then you had the crisis in Berlin. Kennedy had some problems with perception with the world. But in the missile crisis, he stood tall and took a tough position, and that changed his image a little bit. It certainly didn't hurt him politically in the 1962 midterm. So that's an example of a foreign policy crisis that could have a huge impact in a midterm, the Cuban Missile Crisis, October 62. Now, the one that could have an impact this year, and nobody's talking about it, but this is a huge story, OPEC is threatening to cut back production. If that happens, now that may not have an impact on the price of gasoline in October, but it definitely will in December and January, as well as the cost of heating oil and everything else. That is a huge story, OPEC cutting back their production. They could announce it before Election Day, or they could announce it this month, and that could actually send a very negative shock, if you will, to the American elections, because if they cut back their production and we've cut back our production, what's going to happen to the price of gasoline? It's going to go up even more than you realize. So October surprises, they can always change things, and you just never know where they, like the Cuban Missile Crisis or this thing with OPEC cutting back production. So keep an eye on October surprises, and the one that I believe could be really critical, and that is OPEC cutting back production. Let's talk a little bit about a couple of trends that I believe are going to be very important in these elections. A couple of things that could be vital, very game-changing type of things in the upcoming elections. The first one is the impact that parents are going to have. If you look across the country, you're seeing more and more parents getting very involved in school board elections. You're seeing parents getting very involved in their kids' education. Now, these are public schools, that is. You're also seeing parents pulling their kids out of public schools. I mean, cities, for example, have lost students. So the parents are going to be very active, I believe, in the upcoming elections, and they're very angry. The parents are very angry. They're not happy with public education. They're not happy with the teachers' union. They're not happy with what happened during COVID and the way that the schools were closed and the kids were impacted. A lot of those parents are going to come out, they're going to vote, and they're going to vote Republican in this election. They're not necessarily Republicans identified as, you know, Republicans by party, but they're going to vote against the Democrats. And in doing so, they're going to vote for Republicans. Just keep an eye on what happened in Virginia last November, where parents literally elected a Republican governor. So that's the first impact, the impact of the parents getting involved in politics. The second one, and this is something that we have seen developing now for a couple of years, and we may very well see this issue in November, and that is the impact of Hispanics. You're seeing more and more signs that Hispanics are leaving the Democrat Party. Now, don't get me wrong, it's not going to be massive, you know, defections. It could very well mean that instead of getting 38%, you know, a Republican gets 55%. So it could be something like that. But that could be, would have a tremendous impact, particularly on the House and on Senate seats in places like Nevada and in places like Arizona, where you have significant Hispanic population. And that's where you're going to see the impact of Hispanics. You're also seeing it, I believe, in South Texas. You could see it down there as well. So Hispanics are going to be the other big issue in November. And we're going to find out in November just how much of a shift Hispanics have made with respect to their, you know, the political parties. Historically, Hispanics have voted about 70% Democrat. It changed a little bit under President George W. Bush. He took it up to 44% in his reelection in 2004. It dropped again, and under President Trump for his reelection, he got 38%. So it's going up, and it's going up for a lot of reasons. The economy is one of them. I think Hispanics are disconnected with the left-wing orientation of the Democrat Party and the whole values thing and the economy, and of course the border. There's a tremendous resentment down on the border with respect to these policies that are making life very difficult for many of these small communities on the border, most of them run by Hispanic Democrats. I mean, all you got to do is check out Henry Cuellar, the Democrat representative on the border who's fighting for his reelection. He's very critical of the Biden administration when it comes to the border, super critical, more critical than I am, more critical than Republicans are. And that's a sign that the border is not a good issue for Democrats down on the border. So I think Hispanics and parents are going to be two big trends that could result in a huge night Republicans on the first Tuesday of November. So let's keep an eye on those two groups. You know, I don't know how to say it, but the Biden-Harris administration just can't seem to get their act together. They seem to be saying a lot of stupid things when they're behind the microphone. President Biden was in Puerto Rico yesterday or this week. And the Puerto Rican family, I have no idea what he's trying to say. I think what he was trying to say is that he was raised in a more traditional Latin American Hispanic society when it came to values. I think that's what he was trying to say, but the way it came across was pretty stupid. And then, of course, you have Vice President Harris talking about equity and how the money is going to be distributed, and you know, during the Florida hurricane. So it seems to me that both President Biden and Vice President Harris have a problem saying simple things. We're not talking here about complicated stuff. When they have to speak off the record, or when they have to speak, when you take them away from the teleprompter, they don't seem to have the ability to speak in a very logical and coherent way. They're not very good on their feet, as they used to say, both President Biden and Vice President Harris. And if many of you are wondering whether or not the Democrats would push for the 25th Amendment, meaning removing President Biden because he's not fit to be president for his health reasons or whatever, if any of you are wondering as to why that's not happening, let me tell you why it's not going to happen. It's called Kamala Harris. I think a lot of Democrats are very worried about Kamala Harris, that she is just not ready for a position as president at a time like this. So the entire Biden-Harris presidency, or vice presidency, presidency and vice presidency, are really falling short. And they're just not persuading Americans that they know what they're doing. And again, just take a look at the polling data, or just listen to them, and you'll know what I'm talking about. Well, we're going to leave you today with a little bit of On This Day in History, as we like to. On this day in 1957, October 4th, 1957, one of the most important moments of the 20th century happened. And that is when Sputnik, the Russians or the Soviets, put Sputnik, the satellite Sputnik, up in the air. Now, it wasn't up there for a long time. I think it went around the Earth a couple of times, and that was about it. But that was the first time that anybody had done that. And the American government back here was in a state of shock. Oh, my goodness, they have the ability to put something in space, even something as, you know, by today's standards, it would be highly insignificant. It was just a little satellite going around the Earth for a couple of hours. But the impact, the political impact, the geopolitical impact of Sputnik was unbelievable. And it set, it really shook up the United States. And that's when we began to say that we have to graduate a lot of engineers to catch up with Sputnik. And of course, the consequence of Sputnik was the creation of NASA and subsequently President Kennedy saying, we're going to get to the moon, you know, before the end of the 1960s. So at the beginning, Sputnik really shook up the United States, but it was the kind of shakeup that we needed to turn things around. And 10 years later, I mean, the Soviets were so far behind the United States, it wasn't even close. And the United States was sending not only a man to the moon in 1969, but we were sending, you know, spacecraft and walking, you know, in space and all that kind of stuff that nobody would have believed in 1957. But the reason that it happened is because Sputnik, the little Soviet satellite, really shook up the United States. And we reacted correctly by saying, no, they're not going to get ahead of us. We're going to get ahead of them. And we did. We did. And by the end of the 1960s, 10 years later, as I said, we were so far ahead of the Soviets that it wasn't even close. And we put a man on the moon, not once, but several times. And we were so far ahead of the Soviets, it wasn't even funny. Sputnik, 1957. By the way, there's a great movie that came out, I think it was 20 years ago, called October Sky, which is a movie based on the life of Homer Wickham, who was a young man in West Virginia who was inspired to go into space technology because of the movie, because of Sputnik. Homer Wickham was his real name, and he went on to a great career at NASA. I'm not sure if he's still there, but he became one of the great engineers and smart people at NASA. But it all started when he was a young boy in West Virginia in 1957, the night that he looked at the sky, and he realized that he was living in a brand new world, the space age that happened on this day in 1957. Thank you for listening. Everybody have a great day. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.